Okay, hey guys, welcome to today's discussion. The big subject of the day or the week is forgiveness. So, and it's a huge subject. As we know, loved one says forgiveness is the eradicator of karma. So, that's a biggie. Like, if we want to step off this wheel and understand that, we are the ones creating our chaos, we are the ones creating our peace. And it's really due to this thing right here, forgiveness. So let's go into it and then I'll add my own thoughts as we go along. So this is from session 18, question 12. You stated yesterday that forgiveness is the eradicator of karma. I am assuming that balanced forgiveness for the full eradication of karma would require forgiveness not only for other selves, but forgiveness of self. Am I correct? And Ra says, yes, you are correct. We will briefly expand upon that. So thank you, Ra. Forgiveness of other self is forgiveness of self. An understanding of this insists upon a full forgiveness upon the conscious level of self and other self, for they are one. A full forgiveness is thus impossible without the inclusion of self. We are all part of creation, right? So nobody's not part of creation or you wouldn't be here. So understanding that we are all connected in this way, and we all have one thing in common, that is that we all come from Creator. Does that make us any different? We are not different. We're just looking through different eyes. I know once you bring in emotions and mental processing, like contemplation, things, that's where our distortions come into play. We all have different distortions. We all have different things playing out in our minds and our spirit. But that still does not make us any different. We all come from one thing. Therefore, when we project that forgiveness outwardly onto other people or other selves, as the loved one calls it, then that, it's like the laws of physics, what comes up must come down, what you put out must come back in some way. Then ultimately, when we forgive this other person, we end up forgiving ourselves, but we do have to include that in our practice when we lay down at night or during throughout the day, even in the middle of experiences of forgiving self. So, and I will say, I mean, this is it's becoming, I think with the changing of energies, it's becoming quicker. Our mental processing is becoming quicker, or it hopefully is, when we're in the middle of something and somebody says something to you, and your old self, your unhealed self would get triggered, but the good practice is being sharp and being perfectly in that present moment, in it inside, going, oh man, that really triggers me. Oh my gosh. But maturity is having the capacity to, internally say, you know what? Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, and then we release that. It's like a release. And that's another thing I want to bring up is, forgiveness isn't necessarily, I mean, yes, it's for the other person, but it's also for you. So that you do not have to hold on to that. It's like a release of chains. You don't have to be held down by that resentment or feeling preyed upon or feeling triggered or whatever the case may be. It's different for every situation, but just that's spiritual maturity when you can really be in that moment as it's happening and forgive them. So, and I, as a collective, I don't think we're there yet. But I do notice it in myself. It's happening on a quicker level. And as I continue to do my own inner work on myself and having this practice, it is becoming more available. So, moving on though. 34.5, if an entity develops what is called karma in an incarnation, is there then programming that sometimes occurs so that he will experience catalyst that will enable him to get to a point of forgiveness, thereby alleviating the karma? This is in general correct. However, both self and any other self may at any time through the process of understanding, acceptance, and forgiveness, elaborate these patterns. This is true at any point in an incarnative pattern. Thus, one who has set in motion an action may forgive itself and never again make that error. This also breaks or stops what you call karma. And that's important to know. Like, once you do, you can forgive yourself all day long, I guess. But really, what matters is, do you repeat that pattern? Like, you can. That's another level of spiritual maturity, I think, is knowing and having the willpower not to repeat certain patterns. Yeah, for you and the other person involved. This is in regards to planetary healing, which, this is very, very important. What's going on in today's world? I mean, anything we can do to help alleviate some of what's going on with the planet and has going on the planet. And this isn't just present, this is recent past and mistakes of humanity. Big mistakes of humanity. And let's see what they say though. Can you describe the mechanism of planetary healing? Healing is a process of acceptance, forgiveness, and if possible, restitution. The restitution not being available in time space. There are many among your people now attempting restitution while in the physical. So, the restitution not being available in time space. So, what does that actually mean? So, and I did bring up like the whole biblical definition of restitution. I mean, I do have a large Christian background, and please, if it does not resonate with you, then take what resonates and leave the rest. That's fine. So, I was trying to explain some of this with my own understanding of things in the best way that I know how. So restitution not being available in time space. So, I would like to think that that means that we have to be incarnated to do this restitution. But also time space to me as kind of as we move along in these energies and as they're increasing and ascending and all of that. I mean, it's having to do with the indigo ray a bit. I can think, I can make restitution in my mind all I want and in my spirit all I want, but the physical acts of restitution, I think, is really where it actually pays off. So let's go into the biblical meaning of restitution. And that is stated as paying for what is lost, stolen, or damaged, the person whom is it. So paying back. It's a way to make up for a loss. The Bible is clear that restitution should be paid when one has wronged another. Restitution is about restoring to the one who has lost, helping them recover the damage we have inflicted. So if we have done wrong, then we need to get back in some way. And whatever that is to you, I don't know, being kind, extending the olive branch, offering counsel, apologizing, I don't know. I'm sure every situation is trying to think of great examples on how we could do this if we have incurred any type of karma. Nobody is perfect, so I'm gonna assume that goes for every single person on this planet. If you haven't already worked on paying this back. So it, if you the way that laws of karma work, I mean, if you steal from somebody, then somebody is eventually going to steal from you. If you have stolen, then get back in some way, shape, or form. If you've lied, then tell the truth. That is a karmic alleviation in a way. If you've been dramatic and going off the rails, and well, it depends on the situation. It may have been needed, but maybe the actual reaction and the attitude behind the reaction was not appropriate. So then we make it up by being kind and nice and those types of things. So this is where we get into the laws of karma. Yeah, our understanding of karma is that which we call inertia. So inertia is like Like when you take off really fast in a car, like your head goes back, like, because the wind doesn't move, you're still stuck in the same place. So, it's like you've got to make up for that inertia by, your body moving back. So I'm not explaining very well, I'm sorry, but you guys get the picture of what inertia is. Those actions which are put into motion will continue using the ways of balancing until such time as controlling or a higher principle, which you may liken until the breaking or stopping is invoked. This stoppage of the inertia of action may be called forgiveness. These two concepts are inseparable: inertia and forgiveness. Interesting. I'm sorry, stoppage of inertia is forgiveness. I guess if you forgive the car, then you won't have an inertia when you take off. I don't know. I hope that makes sense, but everything that we put out eventually finds its way back to us in some form or another, and I don't think it really matters how. It's just, and everything is done with intention. So if your intention, is in a good place, then those intentions will make your way back to you. So, this is a great example of what forgiveness can do to ourselves, for ourselves, and what happens when we don't offer the forgiveness either to self or other self. This is 40.13 in regards to cancer. Then you are saying that cancer is easily healed mentally and is a good teaching tool because it is quite easily healed mentally. And once the entity forgives the other self at whom he is angry, cancer will disappear. Is this correct? So, and I think they go into. They describe, how exactly this does happen, being angry at yourself or somebody else can just be built up, and we talked a lot last time about where we hold our emotions, where we hold our anger. Well, that comes out, that manifests as a cancer. Ra does say this is partially correct. The other portion of healing has to do with forgiveness of self and a greatly heightened respect for the self. Yeah, we do have to have great self-respect. This may be conveniently expressed by taking care in dietary matters. This is quite frequently a part of the healing and forgiving process. Your basic premise is correct, though. So yeah, dietary does play a role, and that is part of having self-respect, by the way. I mean, how do you have great self-respect when you're eating not so good things or food that's lacking nutrients, and that they're lacking nutrients, and you're not giving yourself that care. So a great self-care practice is to watch your dietary intake and take good caution of, well, I know raw onions are good, I know garlic is great antibiotic, and so I'm going to be aware of taking more of those items into my body because I care about myself and I love myself, and I do want to have that respect. Watching the growing your own is probably the absolute best. But if you can't do that, just be aware of, where you're getting these food items and where they're coming from. When you know that there's chemicals being sprayed on the food and you're eating them anyway, then it's not a very good self-respect, practice. So, and I realize some people that we just can't get away from it, or there is no other option. But that's where, my experience growing up, we did a lot of communion, and that to me was very cleansing. It was the opportunity to understand that, we were one with food, and that helps cleanse property. So if you cannot get away from, all the business with the chemicals and stuff, then maybe get into a practice of before sitting down before dinner and having creator cleanse and that we respect this food and we give gratitude and all that good stuff. So, yeah. This doesn't really have anything to do with forgiveness. So this kind of is getting into some other areas where they mentioned, but I do want to go into. Here we go. 1723. You spoke of alleviation of karma being forgiveness. I think I've come back to it. Can you tell me? Okay, well, he doesn't really explain that. But I will go over it because it looks pretty interesting. Can you tell me why the earth will be fourth density positive instead of fourth density negative after the cycle is complete, since it seems that there is a greater negative population? Extremely pertinent, I feel like. The earth seems to be negative. That is due to the quiet core, which is common distortion of which those good or positively oriented entities towards the occurrences which are of your space-time present. However, those oriented and harvestable in the ways of service to others greatly outnumber those orientation towards service to self has become that of harvestable quality. There is more positive than negative, but it is, well, we're at least working towards them that way. And I do hold the faith that there are a lot of very good people on this planet, and we just don't hear enough from them. I really do think so. We hear so much more about the negative going on, and are these things going on, and is it a problem? 100%. But lately in the news, I mean, how much are we hearing about the good things people are doing out in the communities? And we hear more about the negative. Again, I hold faith that there really are good people that are really trying to work towards something good here, and we are just not physically seeing it. Do we have a lot of work to do? Absolutely, we have a lot of work to do. We are not done yet, and it's going to continue. But at least that knowing that, it can be a positive thing will get us somewhere. So, all right. 71.7 is the process of positive space time. I'm sorry, positive time space, identical with the process of negative time space for this healing to take place. The process in space time, as here now, of the forgiveness and acceptance, it's much like that in time space, in that the qualities of the process are analogous. So they're an analogy of each other. However, while in space time, in the physical, it is not possible to determine the course of events beyond the incarnation. Well, yeah, okay. But only to correct present imbalances, right, in time space. Upon the other hand, it is not possible to correct any imbalances, but rather to perceive the imbalances and thusly forgive the self for which that is. Yeah, okay. So again, it's kind of confusing, but again, time space, it has a lot to do with the indigo ray. And do we kind of move into this space after death, after we pass on? Absolutely. But the way that the energies are changing, this to me is more like what's going on with your contemplation, what's going on with your processing, how are you connecting dots of your experiences and what you need to be doing. This is the actions that we do in time space. So, and dreaming as well. Definitely dreaming. So, and dreaming per se, let's just use that for an example. We are absolutely able to perceive the imbalances. I mean, that's a lot of what dreaming is about, is to perceive our imbalance, and we can see them, but we can't actually do the physical work that's involved in forgiving or doing the restitution. And so we wake up and move. Once we wake up and move our physical body in this world, then it's kind of null. It just kind of sits there, and we know what we need to do, but we actually then have to do it. So that's where your space time comes in. Their decisions are made to set up the possibility slash probabilities of correcting these imbalances in what you call future space-time experiences. And that is, I believe they're talking about after we pass away, after death. The advantage of time space is that of the fluidity of the grand overview. The advantage of space time is that working in darkness with a tiny candle, one may correct imbalances. You know, and I don't see any reason why we can't live like this has already happened. You know, what if we have died? What, and we realize our soul is eternal. Why can't we start living that way now? To me, there's no reason why we can't. Why can't we live like we already know our soul is eternal, and that this lifetime is the lifetime that we have to correct these imbalances and start living in forgiveness of others and self and start living in compassion. I know that that's, I know after death is kind of what they're talking about here, but why can't we just have that knowing and understanding and belief that what if I was already and this is my time to make everything right? And then at the end of this life, you know, I know that I've done my work. So is there still going to be stuff? Well, I'm sure, but you know, why can't we just start living that way now? So after like act like we're in the grand overview already, and now we're correcting things and making things right and continuing to be a better person and be in that forgiveness of each moment and know that we are done, that with that absolute certainty or near certainty that things are going to turn out okay for us. So, okay, and this kind of moves on to, I feel like there was something else. Okay, and this talking a little bit about General Patton, yeah, rejecting the forgiveness principle of the Green Ray. Right. Okay. This is in regards to Jesus, actually, with him being on the cross. Right. When the entity had become able to integrate or synthesize all experiences, the entity began to speak to other selves and teach what it had felt during the preceding years to be of a worthwhile nature. The entity was absolved karmically of the destruction of other self when it was in its last portion of the lifetime and spoke upon what you would call a cross, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And forgiveness lies a stoppage of the wheel of action, or what you call karma. This is in regards to him being young, a very young child, and you know, he already kind of come in with this consciousness. It was very large, and he was able to do supernatural phenomena at a young age, I guess, for lack of better terms, and he accidentally hurt a playmate. I think he killed him actually. So, this upon his dying words from the story that we know of the crucifixion is being told of the crucifixion of Christ, of Jesus. He says, even though they were killing him, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," because he understood when he was young, he didn't know what he was doing, and he really didn't. Like, he didn't know the ramifications of what was happening or that could happen. And so he understood that was where that's where the Green Ray understanding comes in, that they really don't know what in the world they're doing. They're seeing something they don't understand and they want to kill it, you know. So in that moment he forgave, and this is where it's passed down the line that, you know, he forgave us of our sins and that. But you know, when it really boils down to it, we have to forgive ourself. I think that's the most important. Yes, we should forgive others, but we have to include the self in there. If we don't do that, then we walk around thinking about every time we have messed up in the world or caused this or caused that, and then we end up walking on eggshells the rest of our lives trying to be perfect. Or knowing that we're not perfect, well, who cares? I mean, you know, If you were sent here to be perfect, please raise your hand. Of course we're going to be making mistakes. The point is to learn from them and grow from them. Like, that's a whole reason for this experience that you're even having right now is, to there's always room for improvement everywhere. And if we continue to hold on to these things from somebody else, words from somebody else or actions from somebody else, we are not responsible for their behavior. We are responsible for ours. And again, that forgiveness is for you. You don't have to hold on to that anymore. I mean, we, and if not, then we grow up to be a very resentful person or holding on to anger and this causing, your cancers and, other health problems. And it's up to them. It's up to the other person or everyone to decide, I know I made a mistake and I forgive myself. I'm choosing not to do that action again. I'm choosing to be a better person and I'm moving on from this. Because if we get stuck, then there is no growing. And those that non-forgiveness keeps us stuck in this pattern. So, and not wanting to admit that you made me to not wanting to admit that you've made a mistake is just, we all have, so what does it matter? That keeps us stuck even more. So just being like, okay, fine, accept it. All right, fine. All right, I forgive me. I forgive them. I forgive it all. I do not have to hold on to this anymore. I am moving forward with new growth and understanding and compassion. So, all right. Okay, I will read this. Discipline is a personality, knowledge of self and control, and strengthening of the will would be what a fifth density entity would see as those things of importance. Okay, I don't know if I want to read the whole thing. Maybe I can't because it does have to do with a lot of discipline. So, just checking our time here. Okay. Yeah, I'll read it. In actuality, these things are of importance in third through early seventh. So all of them. Well, all three through seven. The only correction and nuance that we would make is your use of the word control. It is paramount that it to be understood that it is not desirable or helpful to the growth of the understanding of an entity by itself to control thought processes or impulses, except where they may result in actions not consistent with the law of one. Control may be seen to be a shortcut to discipline, peace, and illumination. However, this very control potentiates or necessitates the further incarnation experience in order to balance this control or repression of that self, which is perfect. Okay. I see what they're saying. I mean, control, having control over your own, behaviors, and that is fine, but I think it's the word control, it puts me in a negative vibration, honestly, just that word. So yeah, it's great to have that control, but I think what they mean is it's more about the balance of it. Like, what we talked about last time is impatience, patience, balancing those emotions out to where in an outside point of view, you are perfectly calm. I mean, that's what it gets perceived as. So, okay. Instead, we appreciate the recommend the use of your second verb in regards to the will, acceptance of self, then forgiveness of self, and then direction of the will. This is the path towards disciplined personality. So, acceptance of self, forgiveness of self, and the direction of the will. This is the path towards disciplined personality. Your faculty of will is that which is powerful within you as a co-creator. You cannot ascribe to this faculty too much importance, Thus, it must be carefully used and directed in service to others for those upon your positively oriented path. Okay. Yeah, carefully directed. I mean, that's, I mean, there is many times where, I notice something happening and it's like, okay, well, then I have to think, well, how can I use that as service to others? How can I turn this into something service to others? And that may be the key. I don't know. I'll have to let you guys know on that, but. There is a great danger in the use of the will as the personality becomes stronger, or it may be used even subconsciously in ways reducing the polarity of the entity. Yes, I can see how that can be a problem. And when your personality does become stronger through this discipline, I can see exactly how it can reduce your polarity if you're very, if you're really not careful about, subconsciously, and we all have those automatic thoughts, and that come through as part of the programming, I would say, of being judgmental and that, and we have to understand how our thoughts get projected out onto other people. So being aware of those, attempting to make them more positive, and sending love. Always sending love and forgiveness. Okay. Right. Here we go. This is 50.7. Can you expand on the concept, which is this, that it is necessary for an entity to, during an incarnation, and the physical, as we call it, become polarized or interact properly with other entities, and why this isn't possible in between incarnations when he is aware of what he wants to do, but he must come into an incarnation and lose memory, conscious memory of what he wants to do, and then act in a way he hopes to act. Because you, how do we know how to act if we're not supposed to, if we don't know how to act, know what we want, and, this talking about the veil here, when the veil of forgetfulness gets placed on us when we do come into an incarnation. We don't know. We don't know what it is we're supposed to be doing. It's like, they erase your memory and then throw you in the desert, and you're like, okay, what now? So, raw answers. Let us give the example of the man who sees all the poker hands. He then knows the game. It is but child's game. It is but child's play, a gamble, for it is no risk. The other hands are known. The possibilities are known, and the hand will be played correctly, but with no interest. In time, space, and in true color green density, that's fourth density, the hands of all are open to the eye. You can see everything. The thoughts, the feelings, the troubles, all these may be seen. There is no deception and no desire for deception. Well, yeah, because if you, even the one person that thinks about being deceiving knows that the other person is going to know they're being deceiving, so what's the point? Thus much may be accomplished in harmony, but the mind, body, spirit gains little polarity. And there's not much growth. Let us re-examine the metaphor and multiply it into the longest poker game you can imagine, a lifetime. The cards are love, dislike, limitation, unhappiness, pleasure, etc. They are dealt and redealt and redealt continuously. You may, during this incarnation, begin, and we stress begin, to know your own cards. You may begin to find the love within you. You may begin to balance your pleasure, your limitations. However, your only indication of other self's cards is to look into the eyes, really reading their eyes. You cannot remember their hand or their cards, or perhaps even the rules of the game. The game can only be won by those who lose their cards and the melting influence of love. So you put it all into love. All in on love. Can only be won by those who lay their pleasures, their limitations, they're all upon the table, face up and say inwardly, all of you players, each other person, whatever your hand, I love you. So it doesn't matter. All that matters is that I love you and I forgive you. And that's all she wrote. This is the game to know, to accept, to forgive, to balance, and to open the self in love. This cannot be done without the forgetting. For it would carry no weight in the life of the mind, body, spirit, beingness, totality. Okay. So then we're all in this big old long poker game. And until someone actually says, you know what? I've got my cards. You've got my cards. I don't really care about my cards or your cards. It's really time that we just all fold them, put all in, all of us put it all in on love. We forgive each other and we learn to work together and we move on. Let me go to this one is the last thing I'm going to talk about today because I do want to talk about a little bit more about the planetary healing process. Let me see. Some of our planetary healing process is going on now. I do believe that we're getting a lot of this about the events in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So, those were who were destroyed, not by radiation, but by the trauma of the energy release, found not only the mind-body-spirit complex made unviable, okay, but also a disarrangement of that unique vibratory complex you have called the spirit complex, which we understand as a mind-body-spirit complex. To be completely disarranged without the possibility of being reintegration. This would be a loss of the creator or part of the creator, and thus we were given permission not to stop the events, but to ensure the survival of the disembodied. This we did in those events which you mentioned, losing no spirit or portion or holograph of the microcosm of the macrocosmic infinite one. Okay? Kind of a mouthful, but they were able to intervene and not really stop the events from happening. But I guess they figured we could learn from it and it would be a good practice when the cycle was ending and we could learn how to forgive ourselves and forgive others both ways. Can you vaguely tell me how you accomplish this? This is accomplished through our understanding of dimensional fields of energy. The higher, the more dense energy field will control the less dense. Okay. The higher, the more dense energy field will control the less dense. Okay. They came in because they were of higher density, I guess. Don asks further, if you allow Earth, the population of this planet, to have a nuclear war and many deaths from that war, but you will be able to create a condition where those deaths will be no more traumatic than with respect to the entrance to the heaven world or astral world or whatever we call it. Then death by a bullet or normal means of dying at an old age. Is this correct? And they're like, no, not really. Like, we're not really saying that. It would be more traumatic. However, the entity would remain an entity. There would be no disarrangement of the spirit complex, such as those of what we saw with Maldek, where everybody was just in this knot of things, knot of confusion of things. It wasn't quite like that. Maybe they learned from that experience to where like, hey, we can't allow that to happen again. Like that is a mess and that is not cool. So with these events that happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we need to find a way to make sure that they don't get disarranged like that. But maybe it is a good learning opportunity for the planet at the end of the cycle to learn and grow from this and say, hey, we're not going to do that again, are we? So, and we heal that with forgiveness, and that is the moment that we snap that wheel. Okay. Can you tell me the condition of entities who were in Nagasaki or Hiroshima at this time? What is their condition? In 1981, I think, or maybe 1982 by this point. They are of this trauma, have not fully begun the healing process. They are being helped as much as possible. Going on. When the healing process is complete with these entities, will this experience of the death due to nuclear bomb cause them to be regressed in their climb towards fourth density? Raw answers. Such actions as nuclear destruction affect the entire planet. There are no differences at this level of destruction, and the planet will need to be healed. Yes. Ready to take a drink. Okay, moving on. I was thinking specifically of an entity was in Hiroshima or Nagasaki at that time, and he was reaching harvest ability at the end of our cycle. Would this death by nuclear bomb possibly create such trauma that he would not be able to be harvestable at the end of the cycle? This is incorrect. Once our healing has taken place, the harvest may go forth unimpeded. However, the entire planet will undergo healing for this action. No distinction between the victim or the aggressor. This due to the damage done to the planet. And this is any situation. We all have that responsibility to forgive self and to forgive the other person. You know, I mean, this is just a large example and a unfortunate one at that. I wouldn't like single out, you know, these events. This is any situation in our lives that needs healing. So this is just a larger one that the whole planet is responsible for. The whole planet needs to help in healing this. So I just wanted to go over that. Let me check our time. We may end it there for now. Yeah, I think we'll end it there for this week for now. And then directly after this, we're going to be doing a guided meditation. So in which I will post both to Ascension Works as soon as I can. So any questions, please let me know. I hope that was helpful for all of you. I know going over this myself has been very helpful in my own journey, and I'm very grateful for it. So thank you all, and we'll see you next time.